You know, the last time that I was in a parade was just last 4th of July. I mean, that's the last one I saw, and it was the last one that I was in, and it was really cool because we had made the float here, and you know, Carrie kind of spearheaded that along with several others, and we put this float together, and Carrie's dad brought her his truck, and he drove that truck, and we ended up going over into Norwood, and we lined up over in Norwood up that hill, you know, that goes alongside of the Racket River, you know, down past the AMVETS or the American Legion, whatever it is. And we were up on the side of the hill, and it was a beautiful sunny day. You know, it was one of those July days that were warm, but, you know, it wasn't too warm. You know, there was a cool breeze maybe coming off the river. It was just this beautiful day, and we were lined up amongst others, maybe a couple of dozen other brightly decorated floats, and there was decorated trucks there, and there were decorated cars there, and of course that there was music playing everywhere, and people were moving, and they were swaying to the beat, and I remember thinking, you know, that, wow, Norwood, they really know how to give a parade. And as I looked around at all of the faces that were gathered there, you know, there were young faces and there were old faces and there were faces in between, you know, but there were faces that were beaming just as brightly as all of the colorful marching band uniforms that were gathered there that day. And I realized right then and there as I took all that in that, you know, everyone loves a parade. You know, what a great moment that was for me. And I hope that it was a good moment for everyone else who was involved, not just for those in our church who helped with that float, but with everyone who was gathered there looking at that parade. But you know, I want to say to you today, I got to confess that moment was not the best parade moment that I've ever had. I mean, I had a better parade moment memory that I would like to share with you. Now, that's not saying that my Norwood parade moment wasn't great. I'm just saying that I've experienced one that really topped that. I believe it's the best parade memory that I've ever had, and it comes from a long time ago when I was really just a young man. It came before I even had met Cindy, and it was in my hometown of Brighton, Michigan, and it also was a 4th of July celebration. And it was a big parade, and it was a long parade. And all the things that I just described about the Norwood Parade were there. You know, all of those elements were there. But I'll never forget the best part of it. And it was kind of towards the end. You know that part of a parade where maybe things begin to wind down and there's stragglers maybe coming along, you know, and almost like we picked up a few extra people. It was that part of the parade. And several trucks were passing by, and then, you know, suddenly the crowd became quiet, and there was no music being played any longer, and there was no candy being thrown. Maybe all the candy was gone. I don't know. But the crowd seemed to sense. The crowd seemed to understand that this was a time we needed to stop, and we needed to take in this scene very, very carefully, for this one truck was moving by, and in the back of a truck I saw a man in a wheelchair hooked up to an IV bag. And he was smiling broadly, and I got this idea that he was participating in a great event of his life. Next to him was a black guy, and this black guy was waving with great happiness. And then there was another fellow, obviously a person with Down syndrome, just awestruck, and he was just taking it all in, and he was smiling, you know, from ear to ear. And then there were blind folks, and there were others who were disabled themselves. And then I seen the trailer behind, and it had a sign on it, and it said, "Welcome the residents of Real Living Rehab and Home Center." And I was proud. And I was so very proud of my hometown. Because you know what they were saying? And for me, all these years later, that's a powerful moment in time. Because for me, what it's saying is, what my hometown was saying is that these people are my family too. Now, I'm not sure that I really understood the power of that statement, of the statement that was made upon me that day, but now over 30 years later, I understand that that was a message of love, that it was a statement of grace, and it was the hope of mercy. And now all of these years later, those things have not been lost on me. I rejoice for those people, those folks that were in those trucks. Because you know what? They didn't seem to have a single care what the onlookers thought. For each of them, this was just a one-person parade. And you know, as I said earlier, I think it's safe to say that everybody loves a parade. So I want us to shift the scene a little bit. I want to go from Main Street, Brighton, Michigan, 1982 or 1983, whatever it was. I want to go back a couple thousand years. I want to go back to a different parade. And actually, it probably really was more like a procession than a parade, really. You see, Jesus enters Jerusalem just 1 week before his crucifixion. You know, that's what we're celebrating here today. That's what we're looking at here today. And the crowds, you know, that are gathered there, they're just huge, and they're in a celebratory mood, and they're just looking forward to the liberation and that the miracle-working Messiah is going to bring to their city, to their lives. And think about it there. I'm sure one of the faces amongst the crowd is this guy, this newly resurrected fellow named Nazareth. I'm sure he's there. And Nazareth is important to remember because he's a walking, talking, living, breathing testimony to the power that is Jesus. All of those that are gathered there this morning believe that this man is to be their next king. You know, we know the story. They lay their cloaks on the freshly cut palm branches. They lay it down in the road, and they allow this humble, donkey riding leader to enter into their holy city. And they shout out Old Testament scriptures, pointing out their belief in this guy, that in this Jesus Christ, that he indeed is the fulfillment of all of their ancient teachings. And they raise their palm leaves and they shout, Hosanna. They shout, save us now. They shout, Hosanna. They scream, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They're saying, save now. Save us now. For really, that's what Hosanna means, you know. Save now. Maybe they even sing, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. It's interesting to me that really in this part, there's no reference in the scriptures concerning Jesus' feelings or thoughts as he takes part in this parade. I mean, as I read this, he seems to be unmoved by the crowd's adulation, but he knew what was ahead. He knew the fickle nature of audiences, but he knew that he was on a mission. He knew that he was on the road to redemption, and nothing would steer him off his road from Calvary. And he was also unmoved by another's crowd's perception of him. Not everyone was excited about Jesus entering into leadership. Man, and if you just read the scriptures, you'll understand that the Pharisees were hopping mad. And you can see the difference in the audiences in John chapter 12, where we read this. We read, many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, you know, raising Lazarus from the dead, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. When the Sanhedrin had met a few hours prior to this, we see the true heart of the Pharisees over in John chapter 11 when they complain about Jesus' popularity. When we read, what are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And I'm asking you this morning, I want you to catch it. And did you catch it? Did you notice the key phrase of this whole text? The Pharisees said, they will take away our place. And they saw themselves as the rightful leaders of this parade, right? And they were not about to give up their place. When I was in college, I had to take a business class, and one of the textbooks was by a guy named John Naisbitt, and he was a business professor and a business writer, you know, and he said this: leadership involves finding a parade and then getting in front of it. Finding a parade and then getting in front of it. That's leadership, he says, but I got to disagree with him. That's not leadership. See, as I understand leadership, I understand what Naisbitt is saying is opportunism. See, the Pharisees, they were opportunists. You see, the Pharisees, they didn't want to lose their place out in front. See? And then when they're confronted by Jesus, when they're confronted by a true leader, you know, when they were confronted by this man who was unmoved by both crowds, and they didn't know what to do. Jesus wasn't concerned with the praise, and Jesus wasn't concerned with the angry words. And I suppose that the Pharisees were thinking, what do we do with a guy like that, right? So they begin to plot against him, don't they? But through it all, Jesus wasn't concerned with the praise, and he wasn't concerned with the angry words, and he wasn't going to lose sleep over those whose his mission had provoked. He wasn't playing to either crowd, because he was in a one-person parade. And everybody loves a parade, right? And this is the point. Jesus understood that even though he was in a one-person parade, it wasn't his parade. The parade that he was marching in was his Holy Father's parade. See? It was God's parade. And Jesus was simply doing what his Heavenly Father had asked him to do. I can't help but be struck by the fact that he was a humble servant leader. And it mattered very little to him, that it mattered very little to this God-man what the crowds thought of him. In fact, I have very little doubt that the fact that he was out in front, that he was receiving all of this praise, probably made him pretty uncomfortable. He probably wasn't really happy with being the center of all that attention that he received that morning. But he knew something important about his life. He knew that his life's purpose was to lead hurting and hopeless people to God and to Jesus. That's all that ever really mattered. See, Jesus had died to what the world thought of him. He was in God's parade. And everybody loves a parade, right? You know, in the midst of my working through this awesome parade, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was thinking about you. And maybe I was thinking about myself as well. What I'm asking today, is your ear still tuned to the adulation of the crowd? Do you long for that pat on the back? Do you just got to have that attaboy at the end of your day? Does the approval of somebody else loom too large in importance inside of your brain? And if that's true, then you're still trying to lead your own parade, and you'll still do anything that it takes to stay out in front. You'll even change your ways to keep from disappointing the crowd who are provoked by your life. Now listen to me, friends. I really want you to hear my words today because, well, I'm just going to be honest. I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to give it to you straight today. Man, when we hitch our wagon to the front of the parade, when the parade becomes all about us and not about God, that's a miserable way to live our lives. Because it's not being true to yourself, and more importantly, it's not being true to the God who's called you. Because as I look at every single face that is in this sanctuary this morning, I understand that there's not one person from 1 to 100 that's not been called by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one of the questions to ask ourselves this morning is not is, God, are you calling me? I think maybe the question is, you know, God, what are you calling me to? And maybe part B of that is, when do you want me to do it? And how can I go about doing it? It's His parade. Have you died to wanting to be out in front of your parade? Have you accepted God's radical call on your life? Because I want to assure you today, when you accept God's radical call on your life, I mean, it is not painful. As a matter of fact, it's restful and probably the most peaceful place you could ever be. And when you do that, you will find that the crowds all around you are frenzied. They're frustrated and they're fickle. And they may even plot to want to knock you off your parade altogether. But you will at least rest, because you'll understand that it's not about you, that it's not your parade, that it's God's parade. And I want to share with you today that everybody loves a parade. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word today. Now, dear Lord, as we begin to just bring this service to a close, Father God, I just ask that you bless the words that you gave today, that we hide them in our heart, and then we pour them out into the community around us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So I have a little exercise for you to do today. I want you to just take out your palm branch. Everybody should have got one. And if you didn't get one, there's plenty on the floor. So that's overflow. So take out your palm branch. And one of the things that I want to ask today, and I want you to just kind of contemplate today, is simply this. What expectations have you been placing on God? So take it, you know what, just take it and wave this thing in the air, this palm branch. Just wave it and then just ask yourselves, you know, what expectations have you been placing on God? And then I want you also to consider, are there ways in which those expectations need to change? Do the expectations you have concerning God need to change? Now, Lori, could you come and could you just play? And the praise team needs to come as well, because we have a song to sing. But I want you to do this. While we play this song today, and before we have the dismissal prayer and the dismissal blessing, I want to invite each and every one to consider bringing your palm branch to the altar as a symbol of letting go of your expectation and worshiping God for who He is and not what you want God to be. Okay? So it's just simply that. Bring your, as we sing this song, if you would, if God prompts you, bring your leaf to the altar, place it on the altar as a symbol of letting go of your expectations of God, and just to worship God for who He is and not for what we want God to be. Let's sing this one.